Madam Clerk.
So I just would like clarification, but I do want to explain one thing which might help what Alderwoman Hanneman is referring to. When there is a council packet, it is available online, and we keep the original for public record. If there is an addition to the packet following the meeting or at the meeting or just prior to the meeting, obviously that doesn't go online until we are able to process it after the meeting. So what we do is, there are some handouts for tonight's meeting. Tomorrow we will scan those in and put them on the website in addition, as an addition to this packet. Those also become part of the official record with the packet. I may have just convoluted the whole subject matter, but I guess I'm trying to say, we do save these, we do retain them, we do...
But they were intended to be part of the packet.
That's correct. That's correct. Where we don't transcribe public comments and make those part of the official record. You notice in the minutes, we also don't list names, addresses, and a personal interpretation of what someone said, because that's a touchy subject. But if somebody does submit something and ask that it be distributed to the alderman, we do that the next day. So I don't know if that helped or not.
The point is that you don't want to give more weight to materials during this period of time than you would any time in the past or any time in the future. So we need to do this right. Alderwoman Willow.
Well, to me, it seems appropriate to take written comment, and if they're brief enough and keeping it 3 minutes, it seems reasonable to read some of those into the record. I agree they going beyond that, we should just tell people that this is approximately how many words you get. Keep it at that or it won't get read. But I'm looking at page 102 and 103. And the second paragraph on page 102 says, as explained below, governmental bodies typically can meet their open meetings obligations while practicing social distancing to help protect the public health by conducting meetings via telephone conference calls if the public is provided with an effective way to monitor such calls, such as the public distribution at least 24 hours in advance of the dial-in information for the call. So you could eliminate maybe the written if you would just allow a call-in number for the public. And my vision of that would be they call in and they get a number, and when you call the number, then it's their chance to speak, and when they're done, they either have to put their phone on mute or hang up. And that's, it's not that much difference than standing up with a microphone, except they're able to do their verbal presentation on the phone. It also says the same thing in the second paragraph on the next page at 103. When an opening meeting is held by teleconferencing or video conferencing, the public must have a means of monitoring the meeting. The DOJ concludes that under the present circumstances, a governmental body will typically be able to meet this obligation by providing the public with information in accordance with notice requirements for joining the meeting remotely. So that again refers to giving the public the ability to call in. I guess that makes sense. We have ability to get 40 people on a line, and it's not a big extra cost. And we rarely ever have that many people for a public comment period. When it's full, it's full.
The issue is not the inbound. The issue is when someone chooses to speak or participate. That's when the issue happens. Madam Clerk.
Doesn't it, when an open meeting is held by teleconference or video conference, this really is held in person. Isn't the comment in this written material when there is no one personally in a room, when it's held by teleconference or video conference? My point is the public still can come to this meeting and speak in person, where I'm of the belief, and I'm not the lawyer up here, but that this means by teleconference or video conference and not where they are able to come here and speak in person.
Let me try to move this along. Alderman Hanneman, let me just suggest that the wording be, I'm on the last line of page 111, submitted in writing to be distributed to the alderman for the record.
I will move that amendment.
Second.
Okay, so the motion, where are we at? I want to make sure I'm procedurally correct here.
So we have a main motion to adopt the ordinance, and then we have resolution. A motion.
It's a resolution.
Okay. My notes say ordinance. And then we have a motion to amend the resolution and a second.
All right. On the motion to amend the resolution, thus saying submitted in writing to be entered into the record. I'm sorry. Submitted in writing to be distributed to the aldermen for the record. All those in favor of that?
What does for the record mean? How about submitted in writing to the alder persons?
Period. I'm fine with that. That's your motion?
That is my motion.
Is that your second? Alderman Dandridge?
Yes.
On that motion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. On the main motion.
As amended.
A motion to adopt a resolution to amend a resolution and ratification of a proclamation declaring a public health emergency in response to the coronavirus disease 2019, COVID-19, as amended, to extend the time period of the public health emergency until January 5th, 2021, to allow citizen comment period submitted in writing to be distributed to the aldermen.
So moved.
Second.
No.
That wasn't it.
So we're going to get, so we're not at just.
We're just voting.
He's just reading the motion.
All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. G6 on page 115 is an ordinance to amend 15.30423 of the Unified Development Ordinance, the Franklin Business Park, to allow the Community Development Authority to waive driveway setbacks from interior lot lines. It's in essence to allow a land split in the business park. That's recommended by the Community Development Authority.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. As ancillary to that, on page 127, a resolution approving a two-lot certified survey map for the same parcel at 9750 South Oakwood Park Drive.
So moved.
Second.
Questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G8 on page 147, the status of Marquette Road Avenue Road Extension, Mr. City Engineer.
So I have prepared a quite extensive, I think, analysis of what's going on, so I won't try to read the whole thing. But to summarize, in March, Common Council directed staff to prepare necessary documents to receive developers' donation of the road right-of-way and engineering specifications for West Marquette Avenue to advertise for bids for a competitive public works project along with an alternate bid for water and sewer. We've met with the adjacent developers on this project, and to summarize the status, we are at a somewhat of a standstill. The at issue is, would we, the city, assess for these improvements? So based on that, they may or may not donate engineering plans and specifications. They may or may not donate right away for the project. So what I'm looking for tonight is some sort of a guidance on plan to assess from the Common Council. I developed what I think are the four options that you have before you. First option is to just instruct the developers to construct this project as part of their development project, as with most other new roads constructed in Franklin. Analysis two, option two, city constructs the project with minimal assistance, so you would just ask for a donation of the right-of-way and the engineering plans from the adjacent developers. Option three, the city would construct the project and special assess all the benefited properties. And the fourth option is really some variation of the other three options. So option one, we've heard, at least I've heard since I've been here, the city doesn't build roads, but upon some research, the city has built roads, and we assess for them. So most recently was the Evergreen Street, and although we didn't assess at the time it was built, it was deferred from the adjacent landowner, and when the developer purchased it, the assessment happened at that time, albeit we reevaluated the amount of the assessment. But there are, I discussed this with Mr. Bennett, and we did find some documents that showed that the city had assessed for previous streets, and I am not aware what we did with the middle section of Putes. So that question was brought up today, and I don't have an answer for that, for what we did on Putes. If any of you remember what we did for Putes, I would be interested in knowing that. Option two, again, the assumption that they would donate the right-of-way in engineering. If you consider that, then that would leave a project for the city, as I estimate, of roughly $1.2 million. And I'm going to reiterate, I didn't do an in-depth analysis of the cost of the project. I'm basically going what the developer provided when they asked the contractor. Let's see, option three, this is that the city assumes the entire project. So we budget the entire project. So what would happen is, so the developers who quote unquote donate right away and engineering plans and such, we would actually fund everything, and then we would reimburse them for that cost. My estimation is that would be roughly a $1.9 million project if the city bore it all and did, and then assessed back the property owners, which apparently is what we have done on other projects. So I do have some color exhibits in your packet that illustrate how I, at a first pass, would assess for the water, sewer, roads. Water was the only one that I would assess. That, of course, I could change my mind, but that seemed to be the only reasonable one to assess for length, front footage, if you will. And the other, sanitary sewer, the storm sewer, the road, I would split those up accordingly, as you see at the table on page 150. So of the parcels that I would assess, recommend assessing the two developers, the Habelwitz property and the Creative Homes property, would be assessed at roughly $837,000 and $879,000. And then, but even the landowners, the private parcels, single family residential houses, as low as ones for about $17,000. And notice that I am proposing that we would look at the school, as in my estimation, would be $41,000. We can discuss how those numbers came together later if you want, but the question, after talking with Ms. Stino, is regarding her familiarity with how Wisconsin provides special assessments, and she raised the question, does a city install or pay for new roads infrastructure as part of our normal business process? So it was her opinion, and it seems to make sense that in Wisconsin there's a wide leeway on how we or what method we use to assess, but once you make a method, you pretty much have to stay with that method. When you switch, and I see the city attorney shaking his head. So I guess that would be a question we could discuss. And then option four would be some sort of compromise. As you know, we have $750,000 in the budget for the project. We could say maybe our past history is maybe somewhat what we've done for TIDS, where, you know, the city donates a portion of the money and the developer donates the rest or builds the rest. So, you know, you could use that $750,000 as, you know, here's how much money we'll apply towards it, or maybe you want to look at some sort of method where you develop a method of how you would assess, but, you know, limit the assessment that you would do for the adjacent property owners. So my recommendation would be option A, which is the first option. Leave it alone, but I'm sure this is worthy of discussion. And you can see, I did copy, I think it was circa 1979, some of the discussions on previous assessments for roads.
Well, there's your update.
Motion to accept option A.
Your second? Motion on the floor. Is there a second? Seeing no second, that motion.
Option A or option one?
Well, once again, Mr. City Engineer.
So somewhat confusion with options one and A, but so the option A is this equivalent to option one.
All right. So let's be clear. Option one, option A, option one, it's the first option. There's a motion for that. Is there a second to the motion? All right. So we have a motion on the floor. Alderman Wilhelm on the motion.
Option one or A, with the developers construct part as their development, as what they do with all roads. We've been down this road already. This is why they won't give us the engineering plans. This is why we couldn't get beyond the meeting, because the original motion didn't say to go out and special assess them. The original motion said go get the plans and the right of way and go out for bid and come back with a price. But then when we had this meeting, they said we're okay with assessments on the roads we benefit. So if we put a lot, it's on a corner Marquette or it's on Marquette, assess us for us. But anything that we don't need, and neither developers, they both can construct their projects without Marquette Avenue. They both have alternative accesses. This road has been a need without either developer on the table. It's always been needed to get a direct route to the school for police and fire and to take the traffic out of the neighborhood. So take both developers out of the picture. We have 800 feet of road to a school that the residents have been begging for. Option one will not happen. We all know that. We've been through that. I can't even believe we're going down that road again, because it is a fail from the get-go. And what's interesting is neither developer were invited to come to this meeting or notified that their project, with their money on the table, were notified to come to this to tell you the same thing they've been telling you. It does not financially work. If you make us pay for the road you want us to put in, the road you're requiring, the cul-de-sacs and the sidewalks and the roads we need to build our land, we can't go to the bank and say, and we're going to put in Marquette Avenue. The numbers do not financially work. Developers aren't charity organizations. They never have been. When it comes to business, they're here to at least make some profit. They have both told us they won't make any profit, and that is why we are where we are. Once again, because instead of going and getting the right-of-way and the donations and going out for bid, we got behind closed doors, but the council wasn't here and said, Okay, now we're going to assess you again. So, I can't believe it.
Mr. Mayor? Alderman
Mayor. Alderman Mayor.
Long ago, the developers did say that they would be willing to look at this if we let them phase it in. The council is not willing to do that.
That's correct.
It's very clear that the developers will not put this road in. This road is needed. It's a safety issue for the school. It's a safety issue for the neighborhood. It's been needed all along. No other school in the city has this type of situation. We've talked about this long enough. It's time that we move forward, you know, with a plan that can actually be realistic. And option one is not it.
Alderman Nelson.
Looking at this again and looking at a little more detail with the budgetary, I thought almost option two was what we all agreed upon last time as being acceptable to move forward with. So basically, what changed? Is it just the numbers changed or? Mr. City Engineer just asked if you know. Was it just a?
I guess. And I did listen to the meeting from that previous meeting. I don't recall that being the clear direction. If that's a clear direction, then I'll carry that forward this time.
Mm-hmm. I know there's a motion on the floor, but I'd like to, if that one fails, then I'll have a motion.
No, I'd like to make a motion.
Okay. The motion is option one. Alderman Dander.
You know, I do have a question, and Glenn and I did speak earlier this afternoon. I know, and I hear the comments in regards to that this road is needed for safety reasons, but it's been 20, 30 years, and it's never gotten any traction, as well as the school district has made comments that they really don't need it. But the people and the neighbors around it are saying they need it. So I'd really like to hear from the school district that we're trying to build this road for, and to say they, you know, to hear that they really need this and come to the table. But I don't think we're going to hear them or hear it from them. I also understand the predicament that we're in. And Glenn, we spoke about possibly special assessing the parcels with a deferral, but then special assessing all the parcels on both sides of the development. So it would break down that $1.2, $1.3 million to about $18,000 per lot if there's 70 lots. Have you looked at that potential option so we can dilute that large cost, or we look at, do we take this $750 that we've budgeted and use that like we've done in regards to special developments in TIDs, use that as seed money, and the rest is borne by them. You know, I'm trying to think out of the box to see how it does, but sure. I'm also worried about precedents and how this looks, and there's a city council and also a city administrator that can, I don't want to stray, but I want to see if there's an option too.
So I believe
Mr. City Engineer.
So I believe
you have to be very, 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 very careful with the words you use, because definitions are important. There's a couple of words being used in this particular development that have had their definitions changed. One of them is the word benefit. The other one is accessible. The other one is accessible. The word benefit has been changed here to be very narrowly defined to the scope of exactly touching the roadway as opposed to using the roadway. It's very important because the developers have come to believe through whatever method, through whatever sources, that the word benefit means only that their homes, their lots touch the roadway. That I don't care if you use the roadway for some other lot, that's not a benefit, when in fact that is a benefit. So similarly, assess and accessible have been changed the same way. So be very careful with the way you use the words. The words must be used in the broad sense, not the narrow sense. The narrow sense is used in some people's vernacular in this discussion. The city sense has to be the broad sense. It's very important.
I mean,
does everybody understand the definitions?
I would agree with that. So when you look at how I propose that they would be assessed, they're assessed based on benefit. That's why I propose that the school would have some benefit. I propose that each development, my opinion, needs this road equally, because previous direction to each development has been that they can't develop unless Marquette goes through. So that's why I propose that the benefit to each development was equal, regardless of the connection. Alderman Dandry and I did discuss maybe some other ways to look at benefit. Maybe it'd be benefit per parcel. One's got more parcels than the other, and we can have that discussion too. But I do agree the benefit should be more broadly defined than just linear footage, which is how the current code establishes how most of our water and sewer utilities have been, although it's not required. But it says if you do use per footage, it demonstrates how you do the math, but it does allow you for other methods to define benefit.
Now, one other point that I need to make. Some people may know that I have fairly regular conversations with the various members of the school district, specifically the school superintendent. They don't need the road. They don't want the road. They're not asking for the road. Their safety issues are different than a roadway. The superintendent has said in public on the record that they have had no issues with the service of the fire department or the police department. They get excellent service to that school.